Well, we'll give you a quick update about the lights. I said they'd be done by this week, and of course they're not. So, but we're bringing in the big guns. My mom is coming tomorrow, so that'll take things to whip them into shape. But we're grateful because we've been able to worship here. They've been really accommodating. And I think in the end we're going to be grateful. We're going to say it was worth it, right? And if you don't like the lights, you can just tell the deacon. G.K. Chesterton was one of the more famous guys in the 20th century that you never hear of these days, but fantastic human being, very, very intelligent, but a great heart. He and his wife, they had a lot of their own suffering. They were never able to have children. They loved kids, but they just were never able to have any of their own. So nice timing there. That's Madeline, huh? Is she crying? Yeah. You did hear this little guy over here. I thought he would start crying because the deacon is his grandpa, and he wants his deacon to read the gospel and not me. But anyway, he didn't give me a hard time. But this guy Chesterton is a convert, and he used to, you know, he would defend the faith. He, for all of his amazing intellect, it really was his heart that made him a saintly guy. And one time about the Mass, he said, "The Mass is really long and boring, unless you really love God." Ooh. It kind of puts the challenge on us, right? I mean, if we're honest, I mean, it isn't easy sometimes to worship. We get tired, get distracted, maybe we're bored. For years, at the Chrism Mass, which is the week of Holy Week, the bishop would have this special Mass and bless all the oils. And when I was the chaplain at Aquinas, we had to go over and help park cars before Mass. It'd be maybe 3 hours outside. And then it was usually cold. It was the spring, you know, and then you get in there. And the bishop would be given his win one for the Gipper homily. He'd be really fired up. "Do you love the priesthood?" and this kind of stuff. And I'd be out. I mean, I'd just fall asleep every year because, you know, you're coming out of the cold. And then they're just like, "Do you want to be a priest?" What'd he say? I don't know. Something. Anyway, the idea, of course, is unless we really love God, this is hard. And that's okay. I mean, we want to be challenged. That's how people grow. If things are easy, well, you never really get stretched. You never really become what you're meant to be. St. Jose Maria used to say, if you're going to hang something on the wall, you got to find you take a hammer and a nail, you got to find the 2x4, what they call the stud. If you miss it, well, there's no strength. You can't hang anything there to just rip the nail right out. In other words, resistance, things that challenge us, are really good for us. They help us to grow. God wants our best, and so sometimes he pushes a little bit, not to humiliate, but to set us free. The scriptures are meant to challenge us. If you listen to the gospel, that's a tough gospel. Love your enemy, turn the other cheek, pray for your persecutor, give without counting the cost, give without expecting anything back. Ugh. You ever try that? I mean, one time I met Mother Teresa of Calcutta. I know you're impressed. And anyway, she's an amazing saint, right? So, and she gave us a little miraculous medal. And I had one. I'm like, what am I going to do with it? I had this professor in college. He loved Mother Teresa. So I thought, well, I'll send it to him as a gift. And I thought he'd write back, like, "Ah, Sam, you are my best student. You're such an impressive human being. I mean, I'm just so grateful." But nothing. He never responded at all. A couple years ago, I wrote and told him, "Give my medal back," because he said, "You know, no thanks." But I realized, at some point, I must have realized that I wonder if I did it for him or for me. Because I wanted the affirmation. I wanted somebody to say, "Oh, you're a really holy guy." See how insecure we can be and how we give gifts with strings attached. That's a hard thing as a human being. This lady, Jeanne Jagan, she founded the Little Sisters of the Poor. And they took the order away from her and they ran it their way. She never got any credit and she never said anything about it. She just accepted that, well, at the end of her life, that somebody kind of caught wind of it and said, "Were you the one that?" Yeah. But only at the very end did they give her any credit. And who cares? In the end, God sees all the good, and he stores up. He's the one who's going to be the just judge. They did canonize her as saint, after all, because she probably bore that in silence. She wasn't having the pity party and angry. No, she accepted it. To do what we do, not because there's something in it for us, but to just give life, to give it away. Christ came to not to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom. Cling to your life, you lose it. Give it away. And you receive it for eternity. Well, how can we give without counting the cost, without expecting any return? One way is forgiveness. That's what David does for Saul. Saul's full of envy. He hates David. He's trying to kill him. And in those days, David had the right to take the king's life, and he refused. He forgave him, which shows the goodness of David, how wonderful a human being God made him to be. He ultimately would have his cause of brokenness and have to repent too, but don't we all? How can we be more forgiving? I was thinking about it. It's 30 years ago, this guy, Timothy McVeigh, he was full of rage and he blew up a building in Oklahoma City, killed 168 people. I remember reading about this guy. His daughter, she had just graduated from college, first job. She was really excited. She worked in that building. And of course, she was one of the victims. The dad was so angry. I mean, he just so full of rage that when they invited him to come and see the execution of Timothy McVeigh, which any of the families that wanted to witness it were allowed to, he said, "I'm all in." But he was a man of faith, and he said, "I can't do that. I have to forgive from the heart. Otherwise, I can't be a Christian. I can't really be like Jesus, who gave his life for his enemies as well as for his friends." And so he began a long journey of healing and forgiving. And when he thought he had it all mastered, then it occurred to him that McVeigh probably had parents. And his parents had divorced, they'd gone through a lot of struggles, but he looked up the dad. His name is Bill. I was reading about him this morning. A very impressive human being, still alive. He was very cooperative with the officials to try to find out what his son had done. And so these two guys, these two dads, had a chance to meet and grieve and accept God's mercy. They both lost children in very different ways, but it hurts like heck to go through something like that. And they were bonded by forgiveness, by a merciful God who loves all people. And he asks us to as well, which demands an awful lot of us. It's beautiful that we are invited, we're challenged, we're encouraged to do these things. It'd be impossible, but God gives us the grace to forgive from the heart. Now, one of the great things about being a priest, and there are many, especially when you're serving Holy Name, I say that wherever I'm at, just fill in the blank, but anyway, I get to meet all these little saints, people that you'll never, they're not going to be canonized, not recognized publicly, but saints nevertheless. One of them I was thinking the other day, Barb Gerke. She was sick when I got here, and I would visit her. She had cancer. And she served so many people in a very unassuming way. I remember at her funeral, I quoted Lady Gaga, who has this song about, I do it for the applause, the applause. That's the last reason Barb did anything. She did it because it was the right thing to do. She gave without counting the cost. Saintly little woman. On Friday, when I got back from retreat, and you know I was gone, forget it, all right. I thought I might look holier. But anyway, I was on retreat. I got back, there was a message on my desk that said, Tony Hebel is really sick. Get there as soon as you can. Tony had been in hospice at home for a long time. He used to sit right over here. He had a brother who was a priest, Father Charlie Hebel. I've known Tony for as long as I've been in Wausau. I got there, and he was very, very sick. I gave him the last rites. He kind of woke up. I think he was paying attention. And then I left, and before I got back to the office, there was a voicemail message that said, Father, you no sooner left. Within 10 minutes, Tony died, as if he was waiting for those last graces. I get to meet all these little saints all the time, men and women that are, well, maybe just like us, that are trying to forgive and to accept God's forgiveness, that he really cares about us, and he can take away the sins of the world, and because he has done that, we owe it to each other. Yeah, the Mass is long and boring, unless you really love God. Well, I don't know. Do we really love him? Let's try. Let's give him our best. We don't have to worry about judging that. That'll be up to the Lord. What we know for certain, though, is that he really loves us. Let's thank him and praise him for the gift of mercy that he gives us on the cross, on the altar. He gives it to us today.